long stretches of nothing. Oh, journaling videos. Just reading an article about performance reviews, which I hate. Nothing brings me stress like a good quote, effective performance review. All about goals to which I will be castigated. I will be worked over. The coming year. It's like the Insta deadline. You gotta tell me where your deadline is. I'm eating some raisins. What are you gonna do? What's the deadline? And all of a sudden, you and your supervisor, that's all, you know, if you're on target, if you're doing a good job as a manager, that's a predominant conversation every time you get together. But if you're not about the stress, you'll try to put a percentage on it. You might even put a timer on your phone to say, oh, it's time to talk about, you know, blah, blah's goals. It's time to talk about that. Time to talk about that. It's just, you know what? I don't even want to know what your goals really are. Those are kind of personal, don't you think? Especially they're personal. I've been such a jerk the older I get. You know, my boss wants to know my 5-year plan. And I always say, oh, well, my 5-year plan is fishing. I want to be fishing, and I hate fishing, and I don't, and I have no intention of ever really fishing. My wife doesn't even like fish, doesn't even like them anywhere near her or near her house. But I'm going to choose it as a plan just to be a jerk. Just to get in your face and tell you how much I don't think about this stuff. I'm the anti-teacher. I'm tempted to be the anti-manager, too. Or actively fight management. The most wonderful thing that my manager did for me was to shield me from upper management so I could work on what I wanted to work on. Don't worry, I'm going to align it with the company. I don't want to piss you guys off. Of course, I'm different that way. Or maybe it's a generational thing. We started giving out certificates for kindergarten graduation. You didn't accomplish anything in kindergarten, but you got a graduation certificate for it because it was cute. You're primarily your mommy, but if you have kind of a beta daddy, he was into this stuff too, taking the pictures, making the videos. Oh, this is just such wonderful memories that we're going to have. But this amazing little thing, they got up and they sang for us, the little graduates, and they did this and that, and oh my goodness, wasn't it fantastic? And it was all about feeling really good, getting praised for nothing, and I think it's turned these guys into, you know, this is, when they put up that banner, where was it, Office Space or something, where it was like, what are you doing for the company today? And I think Justin did a good job of kind of making it into a joke, but then he kind of, I don't know if he crafted it particularly, but it became this weird kind of running gag that he was doing to actually kind of actually do that. What are you contributing to the company? And it's dropping it. And it's like, well, huh, all right. just keep it in the mind a little bit. Don't actually, it's mostly a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. But it's there. It's there to make things happen. Anyway, so. And I don't know how much planning and management hoo-ha-ness, how much back office psychological trickery was being engaged in to try to get more to happen. And you're going, am I going to do that too? And you go, huh. You know what? I might. I think it comes predominantly from a situation where you might not have a whole bunch of stuff on your plate. And I think at a certain level, that's kind of the kind of thing you have to cultivate so that you're busy, but you're really not busy, you know? Guys have to be fluid. Because not only are you about larger initiatives that, although you have a hand in it, you don't want to be the key person in that, because at that critical juncture, there's a good chance you won't be able to drop everything and work that. You have to be careful of that. That's what you have technical people for. That's what you want to have your employees for, is to make that kind of stuff happen. Oh, and almost being able to get that kind of zen attitude about things. Because you have to know that you stepping into a situation, you being present outside of normal times, to the people who are under you is stressful. What are they here for? What are we doing? You know, the whole thing of you can't be buddies with the people who work for you particularly. You know, don't be mean, but is this your peer group? I developed some habits when I was at Mesa Lands that I actually kind of liked. Now, it's a different situation. I've got a much larger organization under me that can handle the bulk of things that were going on. And I think that I was spending a lot of time I don't know if I was doing anything wrong for what I should have been doing. If I was out among people grasping, just out looking at things, let's go look at this, let's go look at that. There wasn't anything going on. You do a lot of modeling. And the biggest thing you model is the system. Use the system. The system's working. If the system was broken, we fix it. And then we go out and we say, use the system. Like, if somebody said there was a problem and they wanted it handled, I would put in a, I would put in that, 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 I would help them put in that ticket through one of the methods that you have. And you don't have need to have too many different methods of it. We could come up with three different, my predecessor had come up with three different ways of doing tickets. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm just an email guy. And, you know, having to check three different things to make sure you are on the ball, that's where you need Unify. You know, and it isn't that, you know, I could just call somebody on the phone and they'll come do it. It says, no, you need to think about it a little more and put it onto a piece of paper. You know, our modern analog to a piece of paper, which is an email that goes someplace. Inner office memo stuff. And the whole point is to be really responsive. We've already got a help desk. It's really, oh, I don't know. We'll find out how it really goes. Oh, what was his name? Kurt Diaz. Urien. Come in, the first thing you have to do is solve an accreted problem. Emails don't get lost in my world because that's my system. If you want to talk to me, if you want something to happen that's good, email me. Don't call me, guy. But now that I'm going to have an assistant. Oh my gosh. You know how amazing that's going to be? Wow. Anyway, so the things that come into my mind as I go along, which is mostly just don't, you know, keep everything at a certain distance. Am I going to do pretty much what I saw Clark do? Yes. Now, I only saw what he did from his public side, and that was to the organization. I think I might, I don't know, there's things flashing into my head that I might want to change. We had a monthly meeting, which was good. I think I kind of want to do potlucks. Maybe not every time, but, and the big question is, do you want to do a monthly report or do you want to do it to a length that seems better for a potluck? Like, we found out that having a potluck monthly was becoming a bit of a chore instead of something that you kind of look forward to and you went, this is so cool. I don't know. To pull back to that point, although, you know, always have your own personal somewhat technical project going on. I think Justin had the security meetings. Been doing them for years. Working on who should have what authorities, what powers, so that people can only do the things that they really should be doing, or the authority to only do things they really should be doing. I'm kind of, if I want to empower people, I don't need to be so weird about, well, I need to make things able to happen. Although, you know what? There is a lot of joy that comes from being able to tell somebody. Now, you don't just say, oh, I don't do that, then stop the conversation. You know, you say, I don't do that, but let me throw you at the person that does. You want to be like that. Is that empowering? And sufficiently sure. He says, I don't have some grand target, some pin somewhere. And I'm saying, I'm going for that pin. And I want all you other people, you better go for that pin too. So I don't know. I try to self-manage, which means that my boss is usually saying, oh, he just keeps me up to date on what he's doing, so I can pass it along to other people. My goal is that you don't have to manage me. I don't know how my boss feels about that. See, the biggest thing is under a natural sort of circumstance, I don't want to have to manage people. And in a bigger organization where you can count on some more turnover, I would let people wash out or go some. Well, the better sounding thing, I help them move on to other things. But Eastern, and I don't know if this is as vital as it has been. I think that was one of Clark's big things, was, you know, try to keep people around. And for all I know, that was just the mantra. Once he looked at it and he did the whole analysis of it, he said, you know what, it's just easier to try to encourage everybody to stay around. And the basic stick to get people working is that if you ever leave, I don't plan on letting them come back. You know, you're a one and done guy. I'm not going to do that because, number one, I don't believe it. Anyway, so I was just thinking about how probably scared to death everybody at Mason Lance was of me. Because I am a wild card. I am a lone wolf. And once I start working on something and I come up with what I'm going to be after, I usually don't get, I'm not usually too married to things. Well, I don't know, you know? No, I'm not. But if I see what I think is a good course, I'm going to go for it. And, you know, this is, I don't usually worry about self-preservation like most people do, because I'm fine. I can do things that really need to be done, even if there's a crucifixion involved, because you can crucify me. I'll just go and recover and get a better paying job and come back even more interesting and even more useful. And it's interesting. Only at Eastern have I had a tendency to come back to something. I attempted sometimes, because I often get said from management, I'd take you back. And Justin's never been the type to really contact me that way. That's okay. I don't care. Wonderful. So he says, I'm a strange egg. And when you say, is there a method to your madness, and you go, if there is a method to it, God injects it. It's not particularly me. Gonna be your typical manager? No. I slough off things that I don't think are really that useful. But I think I think about it. It depends on your people. There's always something. that needs doing, but you still need to cultivate a bit of laziness. Because I find it fascinating how procrastination solves things. You were going to buy some product and it was going to give you some wonderful benefit, but you didn't jump on it immediately. You let it sit. You let it kind of masticize, fester, grow some hairy green stuff on it. And then you come to find out that you didn't really need it, or something better came out of the thing, or somebody said, hey, there, one of the things that we already have, with some tweaking, we'll do that too. And you go, oh, I didn't have to do that. Huh, all right, good. Don't fret it. Don't fret it. And it really helps that I'm not rabid to save face or to preserve the integrity of my office, my status, whatever. I don't care. Every time I come to Eastern, I take a pay cut. If you guys don't do it this time, I'll be floored. Do I expect it? Yeah. But what does that mean? That means if there's an opportunity to make a big jump, make a bump, go up, I put in for it when I was 45. It was around 45. I decided I wasn't going to be turning down opportunities readily. If I saw an opportunity that seemed interesting, I would actually go for it. And it's been an amazing ride, and certainly beyond any expectation that I had. Be caught doing positive things. Be caught doing stuff. I don't know what God does with this time. And that's what the people under me should be kind of confused. I don't know what he does during the day. You know, and all of them say, well, they just sit around, fart around, don't do anything. And I am kind of I'm just kind of goopy loopy for maximization of tools that you already have. You know, are you not using this tool much? Well, here's something that you might do to do it more. And that may have a whole lot more to do with being out among the instructors, going back to being a power user. What do I use this stuff for? I'm not a spreadsheet guy. I'm a writer. I'm not a number cruncher. What I've noticed over the years, the people who really tend to make a good mark tend to excel, aren't rigid about rules, especially for themselves. my writing, I would probably get C's for my writing, but I throw it out there anyway. I look at it later and it's like, guy, man, you should proofread this better. At some point, just throw it out there. I like, I've used Blogger for decades for blogging. And I like it because even once you've published it, you can still go back and edit it some more. You can still fix it up, clean it up a little bit. Even though it's like, you know, people are flash. Boom! There's this big jump in readership, and then it just goes do 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 do. I tend to recycle stuff after a while because people forget that you've already written about this, or you're going to meet up with new people. People are fluid. They come and go. That's why one-trick ponies still work. The whole idea of, well, I'm building my brand. That means you have to work really hard. You know, I want people to read me all the time. But if you're going to be a one-trick pony, people don't really read that much. Unless you occasionally mix it up. I can't be a one-trick pony. And I don't think most people can. I don't think it's something to really worry all that much about. Brand loyalty. There really is no brand loyalty. Especially when you do the corporate thing of constantly doing cost cutting. Oh, we're going to cut our costs. We're going to try to make it so that we don't have so many people doing this and doing that. So to be really honest, when it comes to AI, I personally think AI is a bad move. I do. You systematize your own stuff. Don't systematize people, and certainly not relationships, interactions, stuff like that. Now I'm a weird, funky brother. I've got my wife, and we're buddies, and that's it. So am I looking for friends, new friends? Yeah, not really. But I like being playful. Playful's fun. And so I like being playful with other people. But it's autistic. It's parallel play. How do other people do? Happy day for you. Mostly want them to talk about what they want to talk about. People like talking about their own stuff. That's what you do. Well, I talk about what I'm up to. You know, the weekly temple. I really enjoyed my 4-day weeks. Although it made for really long days. It's like, oh, this sucks. I'm kind of a build it, they will come sort of guy. People rarely come. But I build it anyway. I had limited resources. Now I'm not going to have limited resources. Anyway, so I really like the idea of the graveyard playground and to spend some time there and know that, you know, get what needs doing done. Don't forget that you probably got into technology because it was fun. You enjoyed it. And that's what I want to cultivate. That this is that we don't want to take all the fun out of it. I specifically didn't want to go to school for technology. To be really honest, I didn't get into computers for gaming particularly. Although, once the gaming possibility came up, dating myself, I got into text adventures. The computers I really wanted to play with were business machines. You know, that was what I was into. And still, to this day, I'm not great god graphics. I don't go in for graphical games, which means I'm not your sort of people. I'm very fringe, and I'm not an intense guy. If I'm being intense, it's because I'm stressed. And I've always been quite lucky that I didn't have a lot of stress all the time. It seemed to be there was plenty of things to do to make things happen. And I have to revisit that sometime. Why are you doing all this? And I do, and people get really kind of upset. I had this one lady, and I think she was glazed over at Mesa Lands for just me saying, I'm not really a technology guy. Since I got into technology because I hated having to write things out longhand, and I would, you know, I liked the editing process because I had learned from school that the editing process was a critique and I would get a grade. And it took me a long time to get past that, maybe, and just throw my stuff out there. But, you know, if anybody ever asks, I don't edit. I don't edit particularly. And I don't really have people pick over my stuff. Occasionally I'll have Lisa read over something. And I really want her to tell me stuff, you know, not just spelling and stuff like that, but do you think this is a good idea to say? And she did on this one, and she said it's fine. And it's like, oh, okay. I had done a lot more, and it was kind of snotty. I thought it was excellent writing, and I think it was powerful. I think I basically hung on to a copy of it, of the first final draft. It wasn't a draft. The first final, where I was really kind of, you guys have lost your way. And I might still talk that way when I get there. I said, my attitude about Eastern is that to a large degree, it's lost its way. It says, that's not uncommon. I think higher ed has absolutely lost its way in trying to be all things to all people, trying to get as many people into their system as they can. And it's just not enough butter stretched over way too much bread. You go, you know, it says schools who have a tighter purpose, a tighter reason for being, are doing fine right now. They may have to change. They may have to alter their purpose due to, you know, market realities, I suppose. But to be honest, being a school that was founded on teacher training, teacher development, is excellent. Said I would focus almost entirely on womb to the tomb, teacher development. I would almost sell I don't think it's even worthy to call it a package to New Mexico school districts that you will handle their in-service as kind of a as kind of out an outsourcing. We use Eastern New Mexico University's in-service program for ongoing teacher development. And do I want most of the teachers in New Mexico schools to be ENMU graduates? Yes. Do I want them to be people that keep coming back to us again and again and again because they have a relationship there it's meaningful to them? And that whole thing, I want the ENMU Teachers Association to do travel. Our teacher group for FCCLA, we went to Greece last year. And I went to Greece last year with the teachers that I stayed with. If you want them to stay in the profession, you know, answer the majority of the needs of the profession. You're attracting a certain kind of person. Doesn't have to be amazing people at all. Certainly don't have to start out that way. But you just get around a group of people who teaching is what they do. Teaching is what they live and breathe. Making all this stuff happen. That keeps it fresh for the teachers. Although they're always doing, you know, everybody has to do some basic things that need to happen. But look at it as as an inculcation, as a, you know, put levels on it. And don't settle for the stupid levels that your regulatory agency, that PED, puts on it. Not that they're bad, but make it your own, make it fun, make it real. Don't just make it up and then you know, don't do the artificial crap. You know, put some ceremony in it. Why do you think we have all these caps and gowns and stuff like that? There is something powerful about the regalia, and you need to give them stuff. Let them display their awards. Give them ways to display, to show off, to say, I am at this rank, and let that be meaningful. This is just because you kept showing up at activities and stuff. No. Stand and deliver, baby. Stand and deliver. And some people will just come for the camaraderie. That's okay. We're going to get paid for it. We're going to find some way to finance that. You know, that's what the business office is there for. To find ways to make this stuff happen. The grants office is there so that a professor can go after a grant and that they don't have to spend a lot of time doing the mechanics of getting and keeping a grant. That's just administrative overhead. That's what the university does. That's part of your being a part of the university, is that happens for you. Not they're going to do all the work for you. You know, it's your grant. It's your idea. It's your projection. Make it happen. I used to do grant writing. I stopped doing it because, let me tell you, every time I'd do grant writing, I'd get slapped in the head. I would get the money, and I would write myself a job in there. And the fiscal agent for Taos Municipal Schools, they would give it to some board member's niece or something. So it's like, oh, forget it. I'm not writing grants for you anymore. I went off and wrote grants for vehicles for a kind of a foster program. And then I got busy on other things, honestly. At the end of the day, it just was my interest started going elsewhere. So can I write grants this year? Did I ever get the fun of getting around to administering them? Not really. Why not? Because they would give it to somebody else. It was a plum to give to somebody else. And it was like, you know, these guys weren't paying me to write the grants. I needed food. It was supposed to generate money for me. And it didn't. So I was like, oh, screw this. You live, you learn. Did I write grants today? I don't know. I haven't written a grant in 20 years. I imagine the system is still somewhat the same. It's funny how things don't really particularly change. And although it might seem a little comforting, I find it sad. It comes from the fact that this is the way we've always done it. This is the way our people are used to functioning. Therefore, this is the way we function. You know, it's always gratifying that you're not having to send out reams of paper and playing the whole game of, ooh, I'm gonna put it on heavier paper so it weighs more, so that it's thicker. Because we all know that a thicker grant tends to win. Even when they say, don't do that, it's all a lie, do it, because it works that way. Now that it's more of a PDF submission thing, that's just off the table. I'm sure that's where it's gone. When people say, well, we want to make the process simpler, and the normal reaction is a guffaw, which is, there's no intention of, even though you might have the intention to do that, it won't work that way. The system still wants to see what the system wants to see. And you can sit there and say, well, we're going to do things differently. It's like, well, maybe you can. Maybe you can. And you might start something amazing. You might make something amazing happen. I never want people to not try to make positive changes. Just know that it's probably going to be a tougher slog than you think. And there might even be reasons why it's the way it is. Usually it's just to make it a culling process. You only have so much money. You can only fulfill so many things. People are naturally lazy. I said, so heft is a fantastic way to whittle down a group of submissions to work. And I've found that especially larger systems tied to government, they can talk all they want to, and nothing's really going to happen. Any change that happens is going to be slow. If you can accomplish a real change in the span of a career, you should consider yourself massively successful in those kinds of things. So your grant writer learns the tricks of the trade around grant writing, and most of the tricks of the trade are decades old. And they went to their first introduction to grant writing. I did back in the 2004, pardon me, 20 years ago. And those are still the kind of that information is probably still as useful now as it was then. There may be a few adjustments that need making, updating, but probably predominantly not. I'd say most grants are still paper-based. They may have gone on to being PDFs, which is hilarious. I'm sure when they get the submission, the first thing they look at is how many pages is it? And they'll start whittling off the ones that are too small. I tend to be concise. That's a problem. Everybody always says, stick in more filler, stick in this, stick in that. You know, and they go, even if it doesn't seem all that germane, you know, put in a study with a lot of graphs. Says that's what they want to see. And they might just read the executive summary, fan through it, and they'll see graphs, which says, ooh, they know what's going on. You go, dude, I basically grabbed some old study that I'd done, or I generated those graphs off the back of a cereal box type of thing. And you go, does it really, you know? Now I make it sound that way, and you really can't. you really can't just fill it in with nothing. Although, surprisingly, you don't have to go much beyond that to make something that ends up working. Everybody knows the thicker it is, the better it is. If those guys give you a range, stay toward the top of the range. You know, I want from 600 to 800 pages. And so what are you going for? 750. Blah, blah, blah. You guys know the game. You guys want me to tell you how I get grants? Oh, okay. Put in more than is necessary. Use 20 words instead of 10. Use big words. Don't use little words. Boilerplate's very important. Make sure that you drop buzzwords, current buzzwords. If I were writing grants now for technology, would I stick AI in there a lot? Yeah, because it's become a thing. And it's got to be in every single one of them. And I don't mean just once. I mean every page you need to have, make some reference to artificial intelligence. And, you know, I think artificial intelligence is going to be a boon for filling out a grant proposal. Because AI is fantastic about la, 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 and saying absolutely nothing. That isn't just bald face obvious. Or misapplied. But that usually doesn't matter in grant writing. I think most of you guys know that the game, or if you're not experienced with grant writing, that's part of the game, I've found, is what you have to do to make it happen. They measure it. If it's done in PDF form, which I imagine would be true now, or if they've graduated up to filling in the blanks, and let me tell you, you'll learn fast the concept of timeouts, right? I was sitting there, I was typing away, and I was doing all this stuff, and you finally figured out that you don't actually compose in that thing. You do like a Word document or something, and then you cut and paste into the form. Because forms don't last forever. Don't count on it. The minute you count on it, it'll let you down. It'll pop you in the head. And you'll go, I just lost everything I did. It's exactly what happened on this thing. I was in there composing. I hadn't saved in a while. Compose. And when I went to save it, it went, yeah. And it died. And it was like, I was an idiot. I should have. It says, and I always tell myself this. Half the time I don't do it. Because half the time it works out. And you're okay. And it's all right. But the other half of the time, it's not all right. Goes out, your sign-in account died, your authentication ticket went south. And when that happens, it'll just pop up and it'll say, you have to re-authenticate. And then what happened? You just lost everything that you had done, that you had made changes on. So you have to go back and you have to reconstruct it, or you just say, you know what, this is probably... I usually take it as a sign that I was going in the wrong direction anyway. And so I don't really try to reconstruct what I had. I just start from where I left off and see where it goes. Good ideas are lost every 5 minutes. Even when I have the pad of paper and the pencil next to my bed and I've used it, now it's graduated up to being kind of a cell phone system, which works okay. Because I have a terrible time reading my own handwriting these days. Anyway, so there's that. I'm just sitting here saying, how will you handle Clark? And I go, I don't know. It depends. But I find he's getting in my face too much and I don't like it. I'll start sending him information about good vacation places. I get the impression that Clark likes to hang out with his contemporaries, with other college CIO sorts. He likes talking shop, I think. Or at least I get that impression. And so, yeah, you know, this is I want him to go off on those CIO retreats. And if that keeps me from having to go to them and he can just come back with intel, I love it. I love it. Because I don't like going to those things. You know, there's aspects of it that I just don't want to have anything to do with. Now, some things I need to go to because it needs to have my, you know, I need to make it mine. The eVisions conference. Oh, I'm going to eVisions. And I know they're trying to pull stunts on me. You know, this is where the CIOs go. This is where it gets this. I had this guy, Joe Belknap, went to Confluence, which is kind of the banner-ish off script. They try to get some people to come to that. The funny thing was the last one I went to, they didn't get a lot of Ellucian people. I think Ellucian was really pushing hard their own conferences and not participating in other ones because too many people were using them as cheaper eVision substitutes. And I guess that wasn't something that Ellucian got into. They stopped sharing outside of the official channels, I guess. So do I go to eVisions? Yes. Why? Because I gotta know what's coming up. I gotta know what to prepare for our ERP system. Beyond that, because you want to be standardized. Let me tell you, this was done wonderfully. Clark has done a beautiful job, I think. Sure. That's what people at that level do. I don't work at that level anymore. I'm not bringing that baggage. Try not to bring the baggage. Except to know from personal visceral experience how to get good things out of people. And for a lot of these people, it's mostly now, you know, that it has to do with me, mostly to stay out of their way. Person at the executive director level does not interface with somebody lower down on the food chain. It's pretty much lower down on the food chain, unless it's needed, unless there's just no other way to handle it. Boy, let me tell you, the whole idea is find another way to handle it. Your organization is so dysfunctional that you have to get in there and scrabble around with the guys. There's something intrinsically broken. Justin's fantastic. Don't change a thing. If the great things Justin was doing were arm twisted from Clark, I guess I'm just gonna have to do that kind of arm twisting. Because whatever it was, Clark was doing a good job of it. So do the one-on-ones continue? Sure. Weekly managers meeting continue? Sure. It goes exactly the way, don't fix what ain't broke. Will it eventually reflect me more? Now I'm this bizarre personality. Therefore, it's almost immediately going to go, boy, this isn't Clark. And you go, yeah. It says, but, you know, I've still got my one-on-one meetings. I've still got my manager meetings. I've still got this and this and this. You know, it says, and these are all the things that Clark seemed to do. They go, yeah. They go, but you're going to have Nemro. You're going to go, man, Nemro is different. And they go, yeah, yeah, I am. You know, says, I am, I don't intend to be the studied manager. I'm not into being the studied manager. I'm going to do what needs doing. But yeah, I'll end up making it my own. Do you violate the rules of management? No. Now, am I a naive manager? Yeah. Like Van Gogh was a naive painter. And you go, ooh, that's interesting. What's he doing? Go, I make a really lousy cog. I think Clark could probably agree with that. And I'm a really crappy socialist. And so, yeah. And you go, are you a good libertarian? You go, no, not a good libertarian. I'm not a good anything. If you think you're getting somebody who has the same politics as you or the same basic outlook on anything, you're probably wrong. But I'm pretty good at just kind of getting along. And you'll find that I don't care. I shrug a lot. Which means if you're trying to smoke one past me, you'll probably be able to do it. And to a certain extent, I don't see it coming. Or once I do notice it, I sit there and I go, so what's the problem here? Is them getting what they want going to create larger problems? Is it going to set a precedent that is going to be unsustainable? I'm kind of a Mad Max guy. I think I'm reasonably thoughtful. I think I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. That doesn't mean that I see things coming. I don't. You know, can I be schnookered? Yeah. It says, but I've learned not to trust marketers. Marketers are not people you should trust. You know, the whole thing of, oh yeah, we have a repertoire and, well, not a repertoire. And you go, oh, he'd be a lousy writer. Oh no, I'm a great writer. Oh, I'm a pretty dang good writer. It says, I'm just a horrible talker. But I'll make you feel good while I do it. You know? You won't feel like I am your superior. I'll feel like somebody that you can commiserate to. There you go. That's a good word. Commiserate with guy. I don't think I do so well with my propositions. So I got my questions. I do a lot of modeling. I do things I want to see other people doing. And that may be just all I do. Boy, I better show up. I better stay later, even, you know, because Nemro's here later. And they go, yeah, yeah, it doesn't bother me. I'm going to make this happen. Seems like my friend David Smith has found some deeper understanding of the universe via Hallmark movies. Because I was just thinking that Hallmark movies, I tend to turn those suckers on and let them run. I tend to use a little bandwidth, hopefully not too much, but just background noise, really. Because you don't have to concentrate on. Pretty people, same basic sort of problems. What's the deal with all the interior decorators? It seems odd. But executive sort, where it's like, wow, you're really good at this. And it's like, yeah, yeah, I'm your boss for a reason type thing. And it's like, oh, all right. So anyway, it's just fluff. It's just garbage. But it makes for good background noise. It also gives you something to look at when it's like, I'm sorry, you're being boring. It's better than looking out the window, I think. And say, okay, I don't think this is going anywhere. Is there anything else that really needs to come up here? No? Let's go. Is she working hard? No. Do I expect everybody to be working hard? No. We're all going to play that game. Are we all going to play that game? Sure. I'm going to go see Suzanne because Suzanne and I have fun. When she was my customer, I'm not going to be your tech anymore because I'm not doing the technical side anymore. It's probably good. If you want to know how valuable a non-technical person can be to a technical group, to a technical task, to a project, here I am. I'm showing you. I'm showing you the business, baby. This is what you can know. Is that, wow, they can do a pretty dang good job. I'm not a technical guy. You can say, oh, Nimrod, that's not true. You go, well, it depends on how you define them. It says, I define it as, yeah. I treat software like a bicycle. You know, it's mostly follow the instructions. Do this, do that. Be on some forum for it. You can pull up the things that you need to do, which I never did. I was the worst. For just, oh, I read about that once. And now I don't read about it until I get to it. Google is your friend. As long as their search engine gets their little tentacles into stuff. The problem is, these days, it's all kept on some weird database. It's not actually on web pages, so search engines can't really grab it. Of course, now it's like, well, we're going to put a paywall there. You have to pay money to get to the information. And when you're doing that, you can't do that. And then you have to depend on their rather sorry search engine. And that's where AI comes in. Except for you find yourself having to be a prompt engineer. How can I get this interface to get me the information I need? That's prompt engineering. It goes in, produces what's wanted. This bizarre analog to teaching kindergarten. To a smart little autistic know-it-all. But you hate dealing with it because you sit there and you have this constant interface problem. I've got a son, Matthew. Some, I don't know if any of you really know him. I didn't bring him to work. He's going to work here. Anyway, that's the biggest problem. You'll ask him a question, and he will interpret it totally differently than how you had wanted. And he thinks you just want him to regurgitate some piece of information. Or he's trying to figure out what you really want. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, can I tell you what it ends up being? Matt's not very useful. AI. Matt is about the closest thing to AI that I know. And you don't ask him a lot. You know, you just end up saying, I'll go figure it out on my own. Asking you what you think is a worthless endeavor. A worthless waste of time. Can we get back to the scriptures, please? That's mostly what AI is now. It's like having a grammar teacher as your mom. You're saying that wrong. Say it like this. Say please and say thank you. And you get very grammatically correct and very courteous nothing. And I tried to change things, you know, everybody Googles themselves, right? To see what's out there, to see if there's anything out there. The more prominent you get, the more you Matt picks up some stuff. He'll say, where the heck did you get that? You know, man, the kid spends too much time on YouTube. That's all I know. At least I got him off of the thing of watching porn, I think. Well, if he is watching porn, it isn't It isn't manifesting. When I go and get in his room, when I just open his door and poke my head in, he doesn't hide what he's doing. It doesn't bother him. And it is usually some nature show, something. It's like, okay. Now, for all I know, he's just watching, you know, he kind of got into a furry phase, the anthropomorphized animal thing. So, anyway, it's time to stop. Okay, I think I've had free frame of consciousness for long enough. And what it comes down to is answer the questions that are presented to you. And don't do a ton more unless inspired to do so, you know. Okay. All right, it's done. I need to turn off my Bluetooth anyway. Talk to you later. Bye.